Now, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Job, we come to the third round. This is the third inning, if you please. This is the third time that these men get into the arena to battle an intellectual battle. And as we've said before, this is not so attractive today. I understand they've attempted now in several colleges to have an intellectual bit of back and forth. And for years, I know we had debating teams because of the fact that we engaged in that years ago and that type of contest. Well, it never attracted too many folk, and it doesn't today. But they're building bigger baseball and football stadiums all over the country. It's a mighty poor city today that doesn't have a gleaming multimillion-dollar stadium for athletic events. And very little goes in for the intellectual and even less for the spiritual. But you see, back here, this is an intellectual battle, and it's a spiritual battle. And that is where all of us are fighting. Very few of us have ever been out on the football field carrying the ball or charging or blocking. Very few of us have ever gone up to bat in a major league, but all of us are out in the arena of life today with a spiritual battle, and yet it's not the important one to most people. They'd rather go and sit in the bleachers and watch somebody else hit the ball or somebody else carry the ball. But my friend, you and I are fighting a spiritual battle. We're wrestling, Paul tells us, and here is one going on here. Now, it excited people in that day. But we must remember, they're not civilized like we are today, you know. We build multimillion-dollar stadiums for physical combat and not the intellectual. That's not emphasized today. Now, shall we move ahead here in this 22nd chapter? Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself?" In other words, Job, you sure think a lot of yourself, but what do you suppose God thinks of you? And that, by the way, is not very comforting to a man in the condition that he's in at this particular time. In other words, Eliphaz is putting it like this, if I may turn this around. What he's saying is, you are acting as if God might derive some benefit from your behavior, and that if he were restraining you, lest you might become too strong for him, and he's sort of holding you back for that reason. Well, may I say, he's way out in left field, and this is certainly not comforting. A man that at this moment does need help, and he needs light from heaven. Now, you remember Eliphaz is the man that's had this remarkable experience. It's been strange and mysterious. And he could say, "I have seen." He's a spiritualist. But it doesn't seem that he should have gone through all that excruciating and hair-raising experience to come up with some of the trite statements and some of the cliches that he palms off on us. And yet, some of them are very good, by the way. And this is fine. Can a man be profitable unto God? And the very nature of the question reveals that a man can't be profitable to God. That is a very wonderful question. Because, you see, Job has the same viewpoint that a great many church members have today, that they are really profitable to God. I get the impression from some folk that they really make a real contribution to God down here. He's rather fortunate that they are on his team. And, of course, when they get to heaven, that's really going to make heaven because of who they are. Well, a man's not profitable to God. You're all unprofitable. And that means you're just a bunch of spoiled fruit. That's what he says about all of us today. Now, he goes on here in this light, "Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous?" Now, we begin now to see the little chink in the armor of this man Job. It'll be glaring and apparent in just a few chapters now. But these men do sense that. But the trouble of it is they are not making really a correct diagnosis of the man, and they certainly do not know what the remedy is, and they're not able to comfort him and bring him help as they should. And the very fact that Job claims that he is a righteous man, that doesn't cause God to jump up and down with glee and throw his hat in the air. But again, I have a feeling that a great many church members, and I use that term because I wonder about the salvation of some folk that seem to rest so much upon themselves and who they are. We bring no pleasure to the Almighty because of the fact that we're good little Sunday school boys and we've got a pin for perfect attendance, you know. A great many folk think that the Lord is delighted with that sort of thing. And, of course, we've given the impression that the Lord's delighted with it. I don't think so. I totally disagree with that. We need to recognize who we are, and we need to recognize our utter dependence upon God, and we need to recognize our great need of Him and of looking to Him. And instead of trying to do business with Him and impress Him with the fact of who we are and what we're doing. Now, he goes on to say, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? In other words, is this something that God can boast of? Now, let's understand one thing, and we're going to see this. This man Job, before God, on the plus side, had many things, so that it could be said, when it says he's perfect, it means this man stood in a right relationship with God because of sacrifice. And we find that he was offering sacrifice for his sons and daughters. Now, let me read on here and let's get the sense of what he's really saying. He says, will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? In other words, is God afraid to deal with you? Well, of course, apparently God wasn't, because this man Job was having a rough time. Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Now, I want you to know what Eliphaz is doing, and it's a mean thing, and it's a thing that, unfortunately, some Christians will indulge in it. And that is gossip. Now, you see, when this thing happened to Job, it caused many people to say, well, wonder what it is in his life. And they didn't seem to be able to pinpoint it. And since there was doubt, what happens? That's when the gossip comes in, and he begins to manufacture something. And before long, why, he is able to spin quite a yarn out of a little piece of thread. And that's what this man is doing here now. This is the sense of his argument. He says, you're acting, Job, as if God might derive some benefit from your behavior, and as if he were restraining you, lest you might become too strong for him. You're just going to become too good for him. Now, he says, wickedness couldn't be greater. And so Eliphaz says, well, I just might as well tell you, this is what you're guilty of. Now he begins to guess. And here's where the gossip comes in. And none of these things are true. In fact, it puts this man Job on the defense. And instead of defending God, of course, he's defending himself. And if there's nothing wrong with him, then God certainly must have made a mistake and there's something wrong with God. That's always the alternative. Now, listen to him as he speaks to Job. He says, verse 5, is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? Now, here's what the gossips were saying about Job. For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. In other words, he's been a real Mr. Scrooge. That's who Job is, according to the gossip. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. Or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of water cover thee. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. In other words, he says, these are the things you've done. And the word's getting out now. After all, God is up yonder and he's taken note of it. He goes on, is not God in the height of the heaven? Behold the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how does God know? Can he judge through the dark clouds? In other words, Job, you're doing these things as if God doesn't see you. And God does see you. And you are thinking you're getting by with it, and it's obvious now. You didn't get by with it. You see, it all rests upon the wrong premise that Job has some secret sin in his life, and nobody knows about it, and what has come to him has come to him because of judgment. Now he says thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Now, what he's saying to Job is, God is high yonder and lifted up. And you don't see him, but he sees you, and he knows about you. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood? And the thing that he's saying is this. It's the same old argument that he's given from the first. He rests everything upon some experience that he's had, and he can say, I've seen it. I've seen the wicked, he said. And finally, it all came out, and it's revealed. Now, notice he gives a gospel plea here. And this is something that Job didn't need, actually, because Job actually was a man really in right relationship with God. That is, he occupied a redeemed relationship. He could call God, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now notice what he says here. And I'll have to drop down now to pick this up. Verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Now that is a marvelous, wonderful invitation. But it's sort of like invitations given in many churches today. There sit about 99% of the people that are saved, or at least think they're saved, and an invitation is given. Well, it's almost meaningless. It's almost, to my judgment, it sometimes borders on not only the profane, but it borders on the ridiculous to do that. And to ask Job to accept Christ when he's already accepted Christ is not quite the thing. He says, acquaint now thyself with him. And this is a gracious invitation, by the way. It's a good one for today. That's what God says. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll rest you. And here it is in the Old Testament. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Well, so in what you mean by good, what will be good for us? And sometimes discipline is needed. Now he goes on to say, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. These men just keep harping on that. Job, deal with the sin in your life. And there's some secret sin there. And they're treating him now as if he's not even related to God at all. And this man is. Now, he goes on to say, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Now, they assume that God is now his enemy. And God is not his enemy. That has been, I think, one of the great deterrents today to preaching the gospel. Men are sinners. That should be made very clear. But God today is not an enmity against this world. The gospel has made it very clear that God is reconciled to the world. You don't have to do anything to reconcile God. Christ did that for us. And God has his arms outstretched to a lost world. And he's saying to you, you can come now, but you'll have to come my way. You'll have to come by the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But, my friend, if you come that way, you're brought in with great abundance and a great welcome, and with boldness you can come into the presence of God. So that these men are not really representing God, as you can see at this time. And this is no comfort or help to Job.